Right back at you on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour Edition. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Just prior to leaving the studio, off air, of course, a light bulb went off. And I gave you guys homework to leave the studio. And based on where we are with the Toronto Maple Leafs, I just said, guys, give me like five storylines on where maybe in the last 10 years the Leafs may have veered off. I don't know if it's an 18-wheeler like Brian Burke days, but it kind of veered a little bit. So give me five. And then you guys looked at me and go, you're so negative. And I said, oh, wait, hey, give me five positive ones then too.
There it is.
And then
there
you were like, now, okay.
All right.
Now I'm on board. So
I believe Borny's response was, no way.
Yes, that's right. You're right.
In the end, it was, Sam will do it.
So a little later on, we will go through the last decade of where we think it went well and where it didn't. And maybe that's why we are where we are with the Toronto Maple Leafs today.
Yeah.
So it sounds okay?
Yeah. So over the Chiasson era, basically.
Yes.
Good moves, bad moves over the Chiasson era.
Sounds good to me.
I have 13 bad ones and 8 good ones.
So do you have enough for the show? No.
What's that?
I have 13 good ones.
Okay, good.
13 bad ones, good. 8 good ones.
You know, it wouldn't be right to go right into them now without at least advancing the Toronto Maple Leaf storyline. And there are various reports out there, including Sportsnet.ca, where our Elliot Friedman confirmed that the Maple Leafs have granted permission to the New York Islanders to speak to Brendan Shanahan.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Hard to imagine a world where you would let your team president speak to another team while you intended to keep him, right? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I think you're right on the surface. But if you, I don't know, go a little deeper, I'll expand my thoughts, but basically, that's where you're at. Like, basically, you're not going to keep a guy that you're granting permission.
Yeah, you've like mentally moved on from him. If you're saying, yeah, you can have him. However, I guess there is a chance that it's like, there's nothing better than what we have, so go take a look.
Well, okay, it's well documented now that his contract's coming up.
In
okay?
June, I think I read.
Yeah, June 30th, maybe?
Yeah.
So, like a player with a contract coming at the end of the term, is he treating himself like a free agent? And he wouldn't be the first guy to cover his tracks like everybody does it. If we knew something was coming that was imminent with our jobs, the first thing we'd probably do is maybe, I don't know, look for another job.
Right.
So could it just be as simple as Brendan going back to MLSE and saying, you know, my contract's up. I got to cover myself. Would you mind if I look around?
I think the fact that he hasn't been extended yet gives him full right to go ask that question. I think it's probably easier to ask the question. But I do think if they had concluded they wanted him to stay in the role with the Leafs, they'd just be like, well, hang on. Let's talk about your contract here first before we get to that.
Let's have a meeting.
Yeah.
That they're supposedly, you know.
Let's sort through this. That's going to be there in a week or whatever, a few days.
Can I give you another scenario?
Of course. Yeah.
Brendan's coming off a very, very lucrative contract. Exactly what, I don't know. but we know it's was often referred to as one of the highest. Mm-hmm. Could he be in a scenario where he wants another contract like that and the Leafs or MLS, he is not prepared to give him that much, but they'd still like to keep him around, but right. we're not going to pay you that much, but we would pay you this on maybe a shorter term deal. Is that a scenario that,
well, I mean, it's possible. I don't think that Scott Malkin and John Ledecky of the Islanders are going to give him $7 million to be a president or whatever he made here. I don't know. I'm throwing numbers at the wall.
But if you're Brendan, wouldn't you try?
Yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
you try?
But
Kyle Dubas is making $7 million in Pittsburgh. Why can't sure. I go to somewhere else?
Yep. Yeah.
Can I create a bidding war? Am I any different than any pending free agent to go out there and shop for my services?
Well, I guess there's an element of the Marner situation here with Shanahan where it's like you're well within your right to do that. And I see why other people covet you, but like it doesn't work here anymore. You know, would the team here just be like, it doesn't?
Well, I think that's fair
right.
for sure. And maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah, go
right
ahead
now.
And take a look. Well, we're going to talk tomorrow, and this is going to be irrelevant anyway.
Maybe they offered him a contract already, and he's trying to see if he could make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Can I just say something about all this? Mm. It sucks.
Yeah. The Shanny part?
Yeah, just we're even just here.
You know, okay.
I watched last night, and you know, I saw the Florida Panthers, who the Leafs fought tooth and nail with the seventh game of the series, and they laid a big egg in game seven. I realized that, but they were close with the Panthers. And I watched them walk into Carolina and just put an absolute beat down on the Carolina Hurricanes. And it's like, I think back to game three where the Leafs hit the post within the dying second or maybe dying minutes of that game. Morgan Riley down the left wing. I think of the two separate two-goal blown leads.
Like,
I think about all this stuff, and it's like, we're so close to coming in here on today where we would be breaking down the Toronto Maple Leafs game one. And we're like, oh, maybe Shanny's talking to the island. I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
I know, but Sam, reality.
I'm being honest.
I know.
This sucks. Okay. I hate having this conversation.
Do you not want to participate in this conversation?
No, we can't.
I'll give you some quiet time in the corner, Sammy.
I'm always in the corner anyway. But I know that there's some Leaf fans listening to this that saw the result from last night or tried to even watch that game, which I'm sure there's millions of people across this country that were like, I can't bring myself to look at the Florida Panthers yet. But like, it really does suck that we're here. And then we're talking about the president leaving. We're talking about the Marner contract now. It's like, you snap your finger and it's like, we're right into offseason mode and they were close to not being it. That's my only point.
So let me ask you, JB, just prior to this story out there about Brendan being granted permission, where were you on everything? Because I found it very quiet the last little while here. So we know there's stuff going on behind the scenes. What exactly? But where was your gut going with today prior to hearing about Brendan having permission?
You know, my gut aside, just from talking to whomever, listen, I'm like you. Everywhere everyone sees me right now, it's Leafs talk, right? That's everyone does our job, but for free on the outside now, basically.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And, it's just waiting for Brendan to get fired. That's, you know, the assumption. I'm not saying that was my assumption. I'm saying that is the assumption generally. And then from there, what's that going to mean and what happens after that? So in terms of quiet, I guess it's weird for them to lose on a Sunday night and the board to meet on Thursday. To me, that's like,
it's a long time.
What are you up to? You know, this is a pretty big decision here
I would say,
I guess they're busy.
From the conversations I've had with my friends and all the Leaf fans in my life, that it would be a stunning development for them, for Brendan Shanahan to return to the Toronto Maple Leafs as president. Wouldn't you agree? Like from the people that you've talked to, I think it would be a pretty stunning development.
I've made it very clear from the moment the Leafs lost game seven and I went on with Ivanka and Ken on Sportsnet Central, I did not expect Brendan back. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way. crazier things have happened in sport, but the tendency is that, for me anyways, that there needs to be a different look at the top.
Here's my Sam McKee. Can I say something? You guys mind if I just ask a question?
Please.
He's so sweet.
Can I just get in? I wonder if that would affect Mitch Marner at all. Like, if they did change leadership and they said Shanahan's no longer there or whatever else happens, if someone new wouldn't come in and said, stop.
No.
We're not getting rid of the guy who just had 102 points and gets nominated for a Selke. Stop.
We already did this.
I'm just saying, I'm wondering.
Yeah. Yeah.
We already did this, though, when Trillivan came in.
Yes.
Right? The only opportunity you had to get anything in return for Mitch Marner, we already did this.
But everyone comes to the Leafs and goes, I just want to take a look before I do anything.
Yeah. It's like,
we need the stuff to be done.
I'm always surprised by that. Like, I mean, there are millions of people watch their games every night. Like, do you not have cable? Did you not see?
How I feel about Berube at times this year. It's like, what do you mean you weren't aware of what was happening here?
You just don't know what it's like? I don't know.
I think for Mitch Marner, regardless of Brendan being there or not being there, he just knows it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? It just doesn't work. And there needs to be changes, and I'll volunteer myself.
And I think one of the big defenders of the core four sort of ideal was Brendan Shanahan. Like, I don't know the inner workings, but you've heard enough rumblings here and there.
Defender, pal.
The number one guy.
His reputation on it.
So I think that is why it would be hard to believe that they would let Shanahan go. And then Marner's like, oh, maybe I will stay. The number one guy that defended and kept me here. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have a hard time. So it sounds like from what you're saying, Kip, that and nothing you've heard, you sounded more definitive there about the Marner thing than you have.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think Elliot went on post-game Carolina and Florida and talked about, is there still room for him and them and the Leafs to come together? He thinks as of last night, I'm not sure how he feels today, but as of last night, he kept a small window open for maybe them giving Mitch a couple of days and revisiting it. But I just don't see that scenario after everything we've watched up until this point.
It's going to be really hard if any of these things don't happen. They need to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe they go to, maybe he goes to New York, to the Islanders, with Brennan.
I can't. It's not, that would be great. Like, as someone who likes the Islanders to do well, adding a good player would be incredible. It would be amazing. I just like to see some new characters in the plays that I watch. I feel like I'm watching reruns.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome addition.
The other thing I did mention, that if there seems to be a little bit of a delay here for maybe the MLSE to make some sort of decision moving forward, maybe they're looking a lot deeper past Brendan Shanahan. I've mentioned already earlier this week that if it's not the biggest department, it's definitely one of them with a lot of employees here. Are they also revisiting the structure of the various departments? The last count I had was 5 assistant general managers with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Is that right?
5.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot of cooks tasting the broth.
Could they be spending time this week on revisiting exactly what is it you do around here?
Well, usually I just sit at my desk for 15 minutes and just zone out till about 10 a.m. When you say zone out, what do you mean?
Okay, yeah, the assistant general managers are Brennan Pridham. There's a special advisor to the general manager, which is Shane Doan.
Okay.
Derek Clancy, player personnel. Player development, Dr. Haley Wickenheiser. Hockey research and development, Daryl Metcalf. Assistant general manager, minor league ops and GM, Ryan Hardy. So.
What would you say?
There's a lot.
You do here.
That's 5. 6 if you include Doan.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a lot of guys.
It's a lot of people.
And women.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
I do think that if it is something, now first off, we're waiting for the sale to be completed for MLSE and Bell, right, for the portion of the team. But it's in spirit, everyone knows it's happening. It's a done deal that it's going to be a Rodgers MLSE.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there is some restructuring you'd mentioned yesterday, it may not just be the Leafs. It could be the whole organization. My point is that it seems like they're making large decisions here, not just, you know, which free agent do we like best? It's who's making the decision about who makes the decisions?
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
So maybe that's why they're
When you're coming off such an emotional loss, it's a lot easier to do it now than if they were winning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have carte blanche right now. If you want to do something, go ahead. No one's saying, how dare you.
Yeah. So that's where basically I see things now. Could we see something as early as this week, tomorrow, Friday, with the board meetings?
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Could we, you think they'd want to do this? This week?
Our show ends at 6 tomorrow. They'll have a 6:05 presser. No, Friday. 6:05 Friday presser.
Which
coming
we
up.
Would be happy about.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the first thing in the world.
Right? Nobody wants to hear us any more than they have to.
No, like, I'm good. I mean, we'll talk about it Monday, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, we'll just wait. We'll wait.
Before we get into, I went on with Gunner and Ben this morning, and we talked so many different angles yesterday, but Ennis and Gunner both brought up the Matthews thing to me yesterday, and I wanted to get your guys' take on this. That he said, you know, 4 months of rehab or whatever, like he should be able to get back to 100%. Should they have put him on LTIR and spent the money? And, you know, do you think he would have pushed back against that his first year as a captain? But, like, you know, this is all hindsight 2020 stuff, clearly. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're captain hindsight right now. The Leafs aren't playing anymore. Like, in hindsight, maybe you should have considered it. Maybe sure. A couple months off would have really done the trick for him.
Now it looks good. The other question is, like, if you want to spend that money to get better players at the deadline, mm-hmm. you know, look at the assets they gave up to get Carlo and Lawton.
Mm-hmm.
What else could you have purchased with what you had, you know? To use the Matthews money.
But they had to add extra to be able to retain and all this different stuff. Yep. So I know. I don't know.
We had these conversations, guys. We talked about putting him on a long-term IR. We had the conversation of don't go to Four Nations.
Yeah.
Don't go.
We had that conversation a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
And what happens if... Me personally, I didn't like him coming out and playing the injury card. I think he just should have been quiet about it.
Oh, he was asked about it. He didn't volunteer it.
No.
He's asked about
no,
it.
No, no, you volunteer. When you answer it, you volunteer your answer. He could have said,
no comment.
I'm not going there. I'm not using it as an excuse, right? We just weren't good enough.
I would have preferred him to be more forthcoming to help him his own perception, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. But anyways, we don't have to go too deep into it.
If you were good enough to be on the ice, then just let your play stand alone. That's my whole point.
Yep.
Sam.
It's fair.
Sam.
It's fair.
That's all. Right? It's fair. Because everybody's hurting. Everybody's not 100%. I'm sure he wasn't, of course, but anybody can turn around and say, I'm hurt or not 100%.
Said, hey, are you hurt? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. And then we're saying, nah, how dare he talk about it? It's like what he had to say words. I don't know. Tough spot for this kid.
Yeah, but you could have just said, no, I was good enough to play.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. All right. Anyways.
So, yeah, that's why I brought it up.
All right.
You shouldn't have.
you want to start into this a little bit?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so once again, let's revisit the fact that I gave you a homework assignment.
Yes.
And I asked you for... let's just say, for argument's sake, 5 top decisions made over the course of Brendan Shanahan's tenure with the Leafs and 5 not so great.
I had a lot easier time with not so great.
Do you want to start with not so great or great?
Well, I mean, let's start with not so great.
Present away.
So hold on.
13 bad ones.
Okay, but did you rank them from like least to the worst?
I wouldn't. I mean, number one's obvious.
Okay, let's start at the bottom first. What do you got for me?
Okay, bottom.
It's not that obvious because I don't know what it is.
The bottom. We'll start with the bottom. Ryan Reeves signing. 13th on the list?
Yeah. Okay.
I got zero issues for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, zero. Really?
Yeah.
It's not perfect.
Yeah.
A guy that's making $1 million, he brought some attitude. You know what he brought? He brought the belief that we're not going to get pushed around anymore. It wasn't perfect, but, and he went more on reputation than actually dropping his gloves, but at least it showed that they're kind of driving it to the right direction of, we're not going to be pushovers anymore.
That was, but I mean, to be fair, I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Okay.
That was my 13th
right.
one, because
so
you told me to start at the
bottom. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Morgan Riley contract? Where we're sitting here now?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah,
not so great.
Okay.
But you know what's
it's
not,
lower at the bottom, too.
Yeah, even that, it's not a negative trade value contract. You probably get back a
sure about that.
For it or something.
Sure about that.
You don't have to add anything to your
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay with it at 7.5. If it was, you know, it's like, boys, Seth Jones, okay? Let's just talk about that. Dead in the water in Chicago. Nobody wants him. Untradeable contract. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, he stinks. He's no good. He's exposed. No one's going to touch him. That's all I heard from various people.
Okay.
What happens? They eat a little bit of his salary.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from unworkable conditions in Chicago to a great scenario for the Florida Panthers, who is arguably the best player on the ice in Game 7, and now he's doing it for Florida now. Okay? That's... To me, that gives Morgan Riley and a bunch of those guys, Carlson in Pittsburgh, it gives teams hope that just because it doesn't work here doesn't mean I can't make it work there.
Right.
How about a good move?
Sprinkle it in.
The Jake Muzzin trade was
a
good move.
Yeah, Muzzin's pretty high on my list of trades I
like. We're going to look back in the Brendan Shanahan era, we're going to say, what could it have looked like if he would have been able to stay healthy?
He missed 2 playoff runs right when he was basically their best defenseman.
Yep.
You know?
So he,
and if you had him, you wouldn't have had to go out there and spend it on Jake McCabe.
Yeah.
He was, and the trade was Durzi, which hurts. I mean, he's, I mean, not terribly. Yeah. Carl Gunstrom.
Muzzin made up for that.
Yeah. And a first round pick was, which was Tobias Bjornfoot. So... That was a good trade for the Leafs, and I love Jake Muzzin, and his first game, I remember he hammered somebody and scored a goal, and I was like, oh, my God, I love him so much.
He was Ekholm before Ekholm.
Yeah.
Can I give you a positive one for me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
See if, we have, if I have one on my list.
Stolarz.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I know at the very beginning, we're like, okay, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? And lo and behold, he couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
But what he gave the Leafs to win the Atlantic Division and solidify that they were going to get out of the first round was way more than I ever thought.
Yeah.
And the goaltending was as spectacular as I've seen. I don't know how far I got to go back, but it was right up there with Curtis Joseph and Ed Belfour.
Can I ask
Felix Potvin?
Can I ask you a mean, unanswerable question?
Yes.
Do they beat Florida with him as a starting goalie?
I think it's a fair question if he would have been able to stay healthy. I think it's a fair question.
It's worth asking, but they weren't even close.
I mean,
they played like
it's
that.
Game three.
It's a fair question. Could he have stolen game
three?
Yeah.
And game 7? I don't know.
No, it's not. I don't think game 5 or game 7 are part of the equation for me. I really don't, but it's game
three. Okay.
That's pretty much it.
For me, remaking the decor, like Carlo and Tanev, have made the puzzle pieces fit for the first time.
So this the good moves of the last 11 years are this past offseason, boys.
Yeah, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
A lot of them are. But I bypass Carlo and I go straight to Benoit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He brought in
Benoit to me was bigger than Carlo. I was shocked. I remember watching Benoit in the first exhibition game going, that guy can't skate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he ended up being as important as Chris Tanev.
They have a
he was a beast.
A decor. They was excellent.
And I'll tell you another great move. They've got him. They had him 3 years for $4 million. If that guy was going into UFA right now,
I'm give him 4 a year.
Someone's going to give him 4 a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are things that happened
recently.
Good things. Yeah. Like I have.
There's some that are. I can't wait to find out. Where
I have
good or bad.
I have the 20. This is a good moves section, and you may disagree with.
Agree with this,
but I thought the 2023 trade deadline was really good. Getting Ryan O'Reilly, Jake McCabe, Shen. And then having Easton Cowan for Sandy.
I have it on bad.
So I knew that you would have it on bad.
Yeah, I have it on bad.
But they got McCabe out of it. Like, they still have McCabe, and they signed him to that contract.
He's paid $2 million a year here.
Easton Cowan, who is their top prospect and really the only hope for the future, really, outside of that, is
Nick Foligno was not healthy.
But he wasn't that wasn't that year.
I know, but I have Nick Foligno in that, and I have Ryan O'Reilly, who should never have been traded for unless you had him on an extension coming. Mm-hmm. You needed to lock him down. He's the one guy that you could not afford giving up those pieces and having him walk out the door. Mm-hmm. That's why it's bad for me.
There's some big ticket stuff still to come.
But I just think the thing is, I guess I look at that more of through a fan's lens in terms of like, what that meant at that time and the departure for Kyle Dubas and what, like, ultimately that kind of meant. You know, like, remember we were on air that day and Pierre Engvall got traded. Sandin got traded. Like, it felt like half the roster was completely different. And
it was.
Like,
it was like seven guys. Like, they got Achari and Lafferty.
Oh, yeah,
and,
right. It's like Shen's on. Like, what? This is a completely, it was a departure. It was exciting. That was the first time they got past the first round with that team. So, like, I do look back on that as a positive. There's definitely negative spin you can put on it with the Ryan O'Reilly stuff, but I thought that was a really good trade deadline for the Leafs. Yeah. Bad one?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, this is the worst one. Not the worst one, but close to it. Spending $7.5 million, this is all in one offseason, spending $7.5 million on Andre Kasha, Nick Ritchie, and Peter Mrazek instead of paying Zach Hyman $5.5 million.
I have not paying Zach Hyman $5 million. Number two,
Rich was great.
Number two,
that gave me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah.
Kasha, Richie, and Mrazek, $7.5 million instead of Zach Hyman.
Like, could you add Hyman for $5.5 million like he got? I'm sure.
That's one that
letting
sets
Hyman
you back.
Go was.
You can make
the toughest decisions on, and watching him and what he's been able to do with Leon and Connor and how much he got better. And do we think, we look at him as a 50 goal scorer? He is the real deal.
But they knew that he was the type of guy who would have longevity by the way he takes care of himself off the ice. He's a pro. He is in the gym. He's a nutrition guy. Like, you knew he was going to stay good.
You know what I have as the top best thing that they did in 10 years? You traded for Zach Hyman for Greg McCabe.
Greg McKeag.
Greg McKeag. Sorry.
Yeah, he's got an arm for a leg.
Sorry. That's, like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a gift from the hockey gods.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best thing you think they've done in the last 10 years.
I mean, it's the biggest clear win.
I think signing Chris Tanev is the number one best thing.
Yeah, okay, for sure.
You're near one of six, pal. Let's wait on that one.
Okay, so I think the second worst thing that happened, which is like kind of encompasses two eras and two separate things that happened, was signing Patrick Marleau and then what happened because of it.
See, I have that as number three.
Okay, so we have our two flipped.
Yes.
But I think...
I have that as number three. I think it was a disaster for Kyle Dubas to have given up a first rounder to get Marleau off the books that cost you Seth Jarvis.
And you know why they got to get the money off the books? It was to pay Andreas Janssen and Kasperi Kapanen, who neither of them were on the roster, I think, a year
ago. But he didn't have to do it. Yeah. What ended up happening was Kyle rushed it. Mm-hmm. Eat Marleau for another year. Just eat it. You weren't ready to win that year.
Yeah,
why are you rushing that?
But
that's not your year to
they
win.
They didn't believe that, right?
They didn't believe that.
And was that the year they lost because to Columbus?
They
lost to Columbus that year or Montreal?
No, it was before that.
Earlier.
Maybe one of the Boston ones.
They thought they were ready to turn the page.
And they weren't. You just got too horny too fast.
I do.
But the other part of that is it was a bad signing by Lou. That when they signed him, they picked the wrong mentory type guy where it's like maybe in retrospect that wasn't the right guy to bring in here. And then they paid him way too much. And Dubas made a mistake trading a first, like pairing a first round pick to get rid of a six and a half is a terrible move.
Yeah.
But I got it. Lou has to have some fault in it because it was a bad signing from the start.
I got you guys have these things at 2 and 3. I have three things that I consider worse than anything.
Really?
You guys
hold on. I know where you're going to go.
Okay.
And mine's number two.
Well, I mean, I have a obvious. there's no comparison. Yeah, I mean, obviously, number one is Kadri. There's no. I mean, it's the worst by far, right?
Well, hold on. It's not the worst.
Okay.
I think I have, I know what you got.
Do we need to go to break?
Yeah, break.
Okay, let's go to break, and we will tell you the number one reason why the Leafs are in this mess after the break.
I think I know.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, as we go over the best and the worst decisions over the last decade with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm. Can I do a good one just because I feel like we're about
I'm
going to
do a good one too.
All right.
Yeah.
Signing Jason Spezza was really good off of Dallas. He came in here and gave them a veteran element. He cared, scored some big playoff goals, need Neil Pionk in the head.
But I'm with you for sure.
He was a good signing.
He gave everything he had.
Yeah. Great fake clapper. Then he would cut out to the outside and shoot a top stairs.
I'm okay for sure with Spezza.
Okay.
You know, and I think Max Pacioretty should be remembered.
I have that in there
kind
too.
Of that same kind of feel.
I just didn't want to do this whole offseason.
The guy you just squeezed everything you could out of Max Pacioretty.
Absolutely.
I tip my cap to him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good year.
Okay. One more positive?
Sure.
Drafting Matthew Nyes.
Yeah, I had
57th pick overall.
I had that.
A few years ago,
right?
And, could have used a couple more of those guys.
Yeah.
But at least he's there and he's not going anywhere. I don't see an offer sheet being a threat in any way, shape, or form. So, I loved his comments in the post-interviews that I love it here and I don't want to go anywhere. Not even thinking about that.
Awesome.
You know, it's funny is like other teams they draft multiple of those guys. They get three guys that are really good from the draft outside of,
okay.
That is allowed.
So.
Okay, bad ones though?
Do I just go straight to my
worst
one?
So.
In 10 years?
Both of you guys don't have Nazem Kadri as the worst move.
No.
I have him. I have a list of three that he's in there.
But can I guess what yours is going to be? Can I guess?
Sure.
Letting Lou Lamoriello go for Kyle Dubas.
No.
Okay. What is it? Tell me.
Mark Hunter for Kyle Dubas.
Wow.
Mark Hunter.
I had that as a thought.
Really? You did too?
Mark Hunter would never have damaged the Toronto Maple Leafs as much as Kyle Dubas did.
It's hard to disagree with that now. I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
You know me in the London Knights thing, man. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't know.
But this guy.
I don't know that Dubas damaged them, but I'm okay with the idea that maybe Hunter would have taken them farther.
Yeah.
Damaged is the best word I can describe where they are today, over 10 years.
They are bruised fruit.
Okay. You know, does that trickle into the decision of Kadri for
Kerfoot
and Barry? Yes. Like, I mean, it trickles down a lot, right? And we just, you know, a lot of the list was under his watch.
Yeah,
it was.
A lot.
Yeah, it was.
That's my number one.
I tried not to do just Dubas.
All related to your point. My number one is the contract negotiations for Nylander and Marner. Their previous ones. And Matthews, if you want to lump him in there. Because it all went haywire after that. That was Nylander dug in, and they caved at the 11th hour. They never should have caved. They should have said, fine, stay home. And send a message that they
won't. The December one. That played in December.
Whatever the last second was, he signed.
And he was horrendous when he came back.
Useless when he came back. Didn't even help the team.
So bad.
And now you've sent the message that, just wait me out and I'll get there. The next year, Marner holds out. Not at the first day.
No, hold on. Marner never held out.
He missed the first day of camp.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
Definitely.
Okay, one day of camp?
One day of camp. But if they had any...
He never held out. He didn't miss a game.
No, he didn't. But he didn't show up to camp because he didn't have his contract.
Mm-hmm. But that's fair. I need a contract. He didn't hold out.
So it's fair when Willie does it too. My point is, Willie went to December.
He held out.
But the only reason they caved to Mitch when they did is because they had this precedent where they went with Willie as long as they did, and then Willie came back and was garbage. And they didn't want to go another year with another star, young star, who holds out till God knows when, comes in and is garbage.
He held out. A day of training camp?
But is that a holdout or not a holdout?
No, it's not a holdout.
Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, whatever.
Come on, it's embarrassing that you sit there and say he held out. Holding out means withholding your services.
Not showing up to camp because you want to get money. Withholding your services, you're not showing up what everyone else does because you want more money. That's what happened.
Yes.
He missed a day, whatever it was.
Oh, my God. Okay, semantics. It's okay.
Yes.
It's all right.
Fine if it's semantics.
Yeah.
So he, at that point, it felt like Marner grinded them for every nickel he could. Just the same way that Willie did. And in both cases, they bent. And then it started to feel like it was everyone trying to get their own piece of the pie.
It's a very philosophical one. It's good. I like that.
I'm with you on Dubas screwing this whole thing up with the contracts, for sure. And I'm not going to get into what you think these players deserved or what they didn't or, you know, what they were entitled to, whatever. We can debate that all day long. Mm-hmm. But you are 100% on where... It took a turn. But I will go even further back, and I'll pin this on Lou right now.
Okay.
Is that when all of these kids came in at a young age, there were the B bonuses. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
The B bonuses.
I only remember this because you've told me about it before.
Lou didn't give individual B bonuses out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No good. This is my philosophy. Devil's thing. It's my thing.
Yeah.
Don't focus on individual things. Everything's a team. I don't want you going out there trying to score so you can get more money when it doesn't bring in the team together.
Right.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. So it's almost standard. The top four and five guys get B bonuses. Mm. They're built there because they're only getting minimum wage, $8.50, right? At the time. I don't know, $8.25. Like, it's not fair that Eric Lindros, when he was a rookie.
Probably less than that. When Eric was
a rookie, he came in and made more money than Wayne Gretzky, who had 55 records at the time.
Right.
So we can't do that, but we can't have him play for minimum, so we're going to give you these B bonuses.
Yeah.
But Lou didn't want to give them out. So Mitch didn't get them and was told no one's getting them.
Yeah.
What happens a year later? Lou gives them to Austin Matthews.
Well, yeah, he's a first overall pick.
So the other guy was a fourth overall pick.
Yeah, it's the big difference between first and fourth.
No, but if it's an on-principle thing.
It's a principle thing. All fourth pick overall guys got them.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you're told, though, no one's going to get them, so you're not getting them. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, no one's going to get them.
And I think
12 months later, that guy got them, I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm out $1.5 million.
And I think philosophically, this is where
it got ugly.
The guys at the top kind of started to just
Yes.
Frustrate the guys.
Yes.
Them.
And it's like, now I got to catch up. I didn't get my money. You got your money. Why did he get his money? And it just caused like a snowball effect where it's like everybody's out for their money now.
And do you remember the people been tweeting the hockey news cover of like, you know,
yeah,
these guys?
The
Plan the Parade cover. Not, you know, it's not if they'll win a cup, it's how many. Mm-hmm. And it never felt like those guys gelled. I don't feel like they're pals off the ice. I don't feel like there's, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Correct.
You want a couple more?
Oh, yeah.
Protecting Justin Hall and Kerfoot and the letting Jared McCann go.
Thank you.
Good
on
one.
My list.
Good one. That's
on
not
on my list.
My
list.
What was that?
Number seven.
They traded for him, had him, and they scored 40 the next year or something, didn't they?
Justin Hall
and Kerfoot.
I'll never forget that damn fish.
But
they're I saw this fish with, remember they were doing like the,
yeah.
It was the fish. And I was like, oh, they have the Kerfoot one. They're letting Kerfoot go. And it was McCann. You remember that?
I do remember that. It was Kevin Weeks.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
You know, so funny that we're this far along. We've done the worsts. I feel like I've heard everyone's bests. The name Mike Babcock or Sheldon Keefe hasn't come up. And those are pretty pivotal voices in this era.
I had letting Keefe come back after they blew a 3-1 series lead to Montreal on my list.
I was torn to be like, firing Babs was a mistake, you know, but he was kind of vindicated with a lot of his policies.
In retrospect, it might have been the right call.
Right.
I didn't get to it, but I had not letting Sheldon go with Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
Keeping him for one more year.
By the way, my Babs comment was not about Sheldon, who I obviously worked with, and I think he's a great coach. But Babs did have a pretty good pulse on this team, it felt like.
He was not a nice man.
No.
Yeah, no, I think
he's just
not
ego.
And he did not treat Mitch Marner well.
No.
And we know that, obviously, with the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we had Naz on. I don't, when was that? We interviewed Naz when he wrote his book, talking about the Babcock stuff with that list and how things went. I got a couple. This one goes way back, but signing Nikita Zaitsev to a 7-year, $31 million contract, Lou Lamoriello, that was an interesting move.
I forgot that happened.
What year was that?
84 years ago.
Yeah, Zaitsev contract. He had like a half decent year when he first came over here. He signed that. And then 2017.
Okay.
2017. Yeah. And then they had to traded him to Ottawa.
God, they struggled finding D. They did the Ozhiganov thing and they did the who did they love? Marinson for years there.
Can I throw you one more?
I got like four.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I'll throw you one more that
it's an
regretful, not bad decision, just regretful.
Mm.
Not signing Corey Perry.
Yeah, I got it. Corey, letting was it Wayne?
Mess.
Was it Wayne Simmons?
Big mess.
I think he went Wayne Simmons that year.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Wayne Simmons.
Me too.
Not about Simmons, but Corey Perry scored 20 times this year.
It's unbelievable what he's still doing and how hungry he is, and he's just a winner.
Yeah.
Okay, he's just a winner.
He's a wiener.
This one, we've praised the recent.
I haven't heard this one name yet.
We've praised the recent moves. A first round pick in Grabankin for Scott Laughton. We may not be looking back on fondly.
I love Laughton. So
sorry to say it, but I mean he scored. One time, not or two times, and one time on his own net in the playoffs, and that's it.
Defensive to Lottie's hotties.
I'm sorry. I love Laughton too. He cares, but
remind me if we put Laughton and Carlo together, what the trade looks like? Two first rounders, a fourth, Grabankin and Minton,
and retention, a lot of retention,
and a lot of retention.
Yeah.
Would you make that trade today for Carlo and Laughton?
Well, they lost. No.
No. No. Right now,
I'll tell you what. I like Carlo a lot, and I know more than you.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be here for years. Yeah. I think they're going to re-sign
him. That's fair.
You know, big Rachel D.
Yeah.
But hopefully getting a fist fight helped him.
I really love Laughton and the presence that he brought. But Lawton's a guy that you have to find on waivers.
Yeah, I
guess. He's a guy that you have to find in the summer, in August, for a 6th-round pick.
He wasn't good enough to be your addition to help at center. He wasn't. How can we not have Jack Campbell? 5-year contract.
They didn't sign him to a
contract. No, Edmonton.
They didn't give him the 5-year. But Jack Campbell, period. Yes. They traded for him.
Yeah.
And he was the guy at the heart of the Montreal series in the end.
Yeah, I was okay with the trade.
Mentally abused himself.
They didn't pay him. They got away from it.
Okay.
You know? They got away from it. Did they trade Trevor Lewis for him, which hurts?
Trevor Moore.
No,
he only scored 30.
No, Trevor Moore's a good player.
He was okay, I guess.
At the time, they needed a goalie. They needed a goalie.
Such a nice guy.
They needed a goalie, and he was out of this world for them.
I cared about that.
Listen.
I know.
Out of this world for them. He was like amazing.
He had some stretches
where he was out of this world.
We probably said Vezina in a couple conversations.
Buddy, I said
Ilya Samsonov.
I compared him to Cujo. The coup de grace that we have.
You need
up.
A pause before we break.
No, I got another negative one.
We need a positive.
No, I don't. I know.
We'll turn it into a positive.
I'm gonna go. Oh, good luck, Malgin for Marchment.
Oh, Malgin.
No, that's my worst one.
Oh, buddy, I have that one too, and I didn't see it. Mason Marchment for Malgin.
Here's what makes me most upset about that. They developed him. They put in years into his development and had no reason to move off of him. He wasn't costing anything.
Okay.
He was big and young and could score and was. He has a sense for the net.
I want you to say it. Damage. That was Kyle Dubas's.
Oh, sure.
It was a damage.
Sure.
Deal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's damage. I know why they traded him. They thought he couldn't stay healthy. They believed he would never play with any consistency that they could trust he would be in the lineup.
But they're so hard to find, those guys.
But to me, it's like, if he plays at all, it's a win. It's a major bonus.
Why don't you just find out first?
Let him
get hurt a couple of times before you put him to the curb.
Malgin's lighting it up the World Championships for Switzerland.
Is that
true? I don't know. Okay, a good one. Joseph Wall's contract could be good.
Has anyone mentioned John Tavares yet?
Yeah, I think you could mention that as a bad one.
Well, see, that's why he hasn't been mentioned. I feel so bad for him. It's not clear.
No, it's clear.
He never. What's that?
It's clear.
I'm coming to his defense.
I'm saying if John Tavares signing, you can't say that the addition of a guy who left for no assets and scored 450 points and led the team as a captain and all that was a terrible move.
Wasn't terrible.
No, it's not. No. And he never pretended to be anything he wasn't.
Yeah.
But you overpaid him, and it caused everybody else to get overpaid. There's the domino effect of his contract. It wasn't him.
Yeah. It's the part of the same thing we talked about with the Nylander-Marner stuff, where
you needed to get Marner signed. What happened was they offered Marner a contract that he turned down, and instead of bumping it up, you left it alone. Then you went to go sign Tavares when you should have had him done before you signed Tavares.
Yeah.
You needed that deal done.
So you think that affected
Mitch's
money?
Yeah. Buddy, he's looking. Mitch, at that point, went from 60 points to 94. Mm-hmm. And now it's like between Matthews and Marner, it's like, buddy, I led the team in scoring. Mm-hmm. How can you tell me that guy's worth more? And they didn't have a leg to stand on. They're like, you're right. Mm-hmm. So we'll take you to 10-9.
Right.
Another bad one, signing Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Signing Joe Thornton.
Listen, it's to your point. Like, what mentors did you bring in?
It stunk. And I watched 24/7. What's the big deal? We're in first place.
You're first and late for a reason, so.
I'll never.
You would have liked the guys at the bottom of the lineup to have had more success, because I liked Spezza, I liked Simmons, I liked Clifford, I liked Marleau, I liked Thornton, but they combined hadn't won a ton of Stanley Cups.
So go out this summer and find some winners.
Yeah.
And the Jake McCabe contract's really good.
Okay.
Wow.
Sorry, I did do a mailbag. I have literally 150 questions.
But we got tomorrow.
No, we don't. We're only 5 to 6 tomorrow.
Oh, we are.
Too bad we can't golf. Right. It's winter here now.
Okay. Were we more negative than positive?
I think so.
All right. We go national. Hey, Rick Tockett's going to join us.
Cool.
And Hall of Famer Kevin Lowe. We go national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.